Didn't expect that introduction. Thank you, Uncle Ben. I thought he was going to do the lesson for me, but I told him I was nervous. So nervous that I asked Mark, hey, Mark, can you read the scripture? And can you stay up there after with me? Thanks, Mark. There's one there, yeah. Good morning. Everybody got their bulletins? You got your bulletin? So if you read the front, I just want to make this clear already. Some of you might not understand the lesson title, but let's read it together. You guys all have it? All right, let's read it. The Lord will take care. So when Uncle Ben asked me what the lesson was about on, was that Wednesday? That's how I told him, the Lord will take care. So for you visitors and for you, for anybody who's been in Hawaii not more than a year, that's just how we talk over here. It's the pidgin. It's called pidgin language. It's just that's how we talk. So da is the and kea is not a Hawaiian word. It's care. So if we say it in right English, it's the Lord will take care. So that's my lesson title. I'd like to start off reading scriptures. I'm going to go through this real quick, so you might not have time to turn to these scriptures. But Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous to be shaken. Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Psalm 16:8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. And as Mark read earlier, Philippians 4:19-20. And God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To God and the Father be glory forever and ever. You know, the scriptures, the Bible, we read it, we read about people's lives, and we see on how God took care of them, right? That's why we read it. In fact, you heard this before, Bible basic instructions before leaving earth. And we read examples of men of faith. We read how God took care of them. We read about how they disobeyed God and how bad things happen. That's what it's for. So from the beginning, from Genesis, he took care of his people. He took care of Adam and Eve in the garden. They had it all. He took care of Noah. You guys know the story. The boat took care of his family, saved his family. He took care of Abraham when he wanted to go to a strange land. He didn't know. He took care of Abraham. He took care of Joseph. I love this story. So many times, Joseph never did anything wrong, but he always fell in these situations, into the pit, sold into slavery. And then good things started happening because he kept the faith. He even got thrown in jail twice because of something that he didn't even do. But he still kept on doing the right thing and kept on trusting in God. Amazing story. And then he came. In fact, Pharaoh said, you are higher than me. He was the greatest man at that time, Joseph, because he did God's will. Took care of Moses ever since Moses went into the river. Took care of him, had a plan for him. His own mom raised him in the Pharaoh's house. You guys know the story. And through that whole time that Moses took them out of Egypt, he took care of Moses and he led him. He took care of Joshua. He took care of Gideon. When he had those 300 men, they fought. They defeated that whole army. That was an amazing story. He took care of Samson. Samson fought 1,000 Philistines with a donkey jawbone. God was with him. He took care of David. Took care of David since he was young. The lion. He ripped apart a lion, the bear, the giant. And all throughout the battles, God was with him, was with David. He took care of Solomon. He took care of Elijah. Took care of him so much, Elijah didn't die. He was so faithful. took care of Queen Esther. That's a good story too. He took care of Job. Job was richest man in the East. He had everything. He lost everything. He still kept the faith. God still took care of him in all situations. He took care of Jonah. Even though Jonah sinned, God provided the fish. He took care of Daniel. I like these two ones I'm going to mention. Daniel, hardly anything bad about that guy. But God, I mean, I asked my son the other day, you think Daniel was scared before they threw him in the lion's den? And in my mind, I was like, yeah. I mean, really, I was thinking, he must have been scared. But my son told me no. And you know what? I think that's true. He wasn't scared because he knew God was going to deliver him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Great story. Didn't even do nothing wrong. I mean, they did the will of God, but they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And that reminds me of this verse. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. The Lord took care of the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. Despite their sins, God provided for them so many times. Not a sandal on their feet, it says, was worn. God gave them food that rained down every day, more than they could eat. But they still sinned, yeah. God took care of the apostles in all situations. When they were in prison, he took some of them out of prison. He took care of Paul a lot of times. In fact, Philippians 4, 12-14 says, I know what it is to be in need. This is Paul. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether fed hungry, whether in plenty or want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Lord took care of me and is taking care of me, and he will take care of you too. Romans 15:4 says, talking about all the guys we just went over. For everything was written in the past to teach us so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So with that, you know, since the Bible is about these stories, you know, of men of faith, I decided this morning to do something a little bit different. I wanted to share my story. I just want to say, I'm not sharing my story because, you know, I'm not trying to exalt myself or anything. I'm not doing it in that way. I want to share my story because I believe that the things that God did for me in my life, to me it was big things. And you guys all have your own story. I believe that, you know, it's God's glory. He did it and I give him the credit. In fact, if you read about what Paul, his letters, he talks about himself a lot of times. I did this, I did that. But then in a scripture, I don't have it here, but it says that it's not for his own boasting, but it's for God. So it's nothing wrong with, you know, sharing what God has done for you. In fact, I think that's why we are alive. We are alive to share with others what happened to us so that you can encourage your brother. And the same thing with the Bible, right? We're reading about these guys. So I wanted to get a little personal and share my story, what happened with me. And there's a lot of little things in my life that it's amazing. God was always there for me at each step. I want to read a scripture, and you guys can turn to this before I share my story. Isaiah 55:8-11 says, this is the Lord talking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it with watering the earth and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So it is my word that goes out from mouth to mouth, and it will not return to me empty, but I will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent. So I'm not going to start my story from when I was a baby. I want to start from high school. And I was talking to Mark earlier. He's like, hey, that's a good time to start. Yeah, because I think before that, we were young and we were, you know, high school is when you start kind of seeing the world more, yeah. So in high school, I struggled. I struggled because I grew up in the church, and I had some friends, and just I knew what the right thing was to do, right? But it was hard for me because, and TJ, we can relate, that the world, you know, the truth. Some of you might have went through that. So I had a hard time in high school. I was the only one that had to be home at a certain time. All my friends, they could stay out whenever. I had to be home at 7 o'clock. In fact, I was talking with my friend. I never seen him in 10 years. We were laughing about that. But I think it was a good thing. It was a good thing that I was the only one out of all my friends that had that, you know. So after high school, I went to Kauai. I went to Kauai to live with my girlfriend. Not the best move. I knew it was wrong. You're supposed to be married, and I went to live with, well, she's my wife now. She's not here. Oh, she's in the back. But Joy, I met her at a Christian camp when I was younger, like 13 years old. So after high school, I was like, man, I want to be with her. So I moved to Kauai, and it was good. And there was one thing that I knew when I left my house, and I always said it, and I said, I'm never going to miss church. I'm never going to miss an assembly. I'm always going to be there Sunday morning, you know, Sunday night and Wednesday. That was my main thing. Despite all the things that I went through, I did a lot of bad things there. But I still went. I still said I had to go. And Danny Sagadraco is the preacher over there. And a lot of you know Danny. And he's a good speaker. And he helped me a lot. In fact, that was the first time that I went forward and asked for forgiveness and the invitation. So Kauai, there was a lot of bad things I did. But yet it was an experience, yeah. So bad that I came back. I came back to Oahu, and I was about 20 years old. Now let's get into my jobs, okay. So I came back, and I landed a good job, actually. And, okay, I never went to college, right? I just wanted to got in a good job with my cousin and my dad. Man, we were making a lot of money, yeah, TJ? I mean, it was a good job, $30-something dollars an hour, and I was 20, and I was like, it was a very good job. And then all of a sudden, I got laid off. Construction, you work, and you get laid off. That's how it goes. So I met my my auntie. I seen her, and I know my auntie, she runs properties. The owner owns like 5 big properties, and then she asked me, you need a job? So I was like, sure. It's called Heart Properties. What it was is a maintenance. What I did was I took care of a property. No brainer stuff, just clean up and fix whatever I gotta fix. And in this job, I had no benefits. Like, I had no medical. Zero. I had a son, Nainoa. No benefits, like minimum pay. But a lot of good things came from this job. You know, I can say a lot of good things came from it. And at that time, I was studying with a preacher here about marriage. And then we did get married. Me and Joy, she came down and we got married. Didn't have too much money. So our wedding was free. It was a big wedding. I think over 10,000 people heard the wedding because it was on a radio station. Something different. It was so last minute. And I didn't have the money to do a wedding. Yeah. So... But yeah, I did. I was married. So at this job, I had, you know, no medical, no benefits, no nothing. But there's a lot of good stuff, like I said earlier, that came from being at this job. One thing, the Fishers of Men class, I went through it for the first time during that job. And if you ever took the Fishers of Men class, that is one of the best things I ever did because it showed me how to talk to people about God. And I never had that zeal until I took this class, and I used the techniques at my job because I seen different people every day. That was the good thing about my job. I seen 100 people a day. All the tenants, all the workers, they knew me as the guy who cleaned up. So I made a lot of contacts. I did a lot of my homework there from the Fishers of Men. Because we had to do homework, go out, and you got to ask these questions. And it was great. Met a lot of homeless people. Got to helped some homeless people there too. And I had a lot of extra time. I had a lot of time, man. I mean, my auntie's job, it was so easy. It's such an easy job. Another thing, see, I didn't have medical, but I had another baby on the way, Ezekiel. 2 weeks before he was born, we got medical through the state, free medical. And if you didn't have medical and you had a kid, that's a lot of money, right? But God provided that for us when we needed it. I didn't get medical. They got. This is the key. My wife and my kids got, but I couldn't qualify for it. So that was a blessing. God provided right there. And at this job, I always wondered, you know, what my future would be. There was no, like, I never had a raise. There was no raise in it. I couldn't excel in my career. I didn't have a career. It was just cleaning up. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do what I did. But I remember praying for this, and I always prayed like this, and I said, you know, God, whatever you give me, I'm happy. I'm happy with this job right now. I'm grateful. If I can make $9 an hour with no benefits, I accept it. But God, please show me doors. Please open doors, and when I see them, I'll take them. That's what my attitude was, and I loved my job. I worked hard cleaning up properties, you know. One day, I got an opportunity to go to the Carpenters Union. I was like, oh, that's the door. And I got in. My dad knows somebody. I got into the Carpenters Union, full benefits, everything. And then one day, this was about 5 months later, I left my auntie's job, Carpenters Union. Hope you guys are following me. I found out in one day, in fact, in 1 hour, my boss comes up to me. Oh, Mario, I'm sorry, but somebody else is coming over here, taking your place for the job, so you're not going to be out of it. You're going to be out of a job. And just so happens, the guy that was coming over was the big boss's son, and he got busted for drinking on the job. So he took my place, you know, so he couldn't be there. As I was driving home, I got a call from my landlord, Mario. You know what? They're going to sell the house. You got to move out in 30 days. 1 hour, I got that news. Whoa, that was a big thing for me. I had two kids. I don't even think my wife was working at that time, but that feeling was kind of scary. But then I knew God would take care of me. I knew that. I came over here, told some brothers, told everybody to pray for me. And at that time, I believe, Uncle Ben, I was a deacon, yeah? We had elders, and I was the deacon in evangelism. And Ernie Moore was here. Brother Ernie Moore, he was an elder, and he came up to me, and he was like, Mario, you know what? You heard of Sunset School of Preaching? I was like, no. So I checked it out. He's like, I think that you should raise some support, and I think you would be good to go. Bring your family, raise support. So I didn't have a job, right? So kind of in my mind, I was thinking, maybe this is what God wants me to do. So I made support. I made letters. I sent it all to all the churches around here. I got support from everybody said they were going to support me. Amazing. So as I was doing that support, Auntie Mary, I was supposed to move out of my house now, right? Auntie Mary came up to me and said, Mario, before you go to Sunset, you can stay at my house. Come move to my house. Auntie Mary. Thank you, Auntie Mary. Love you, Auntie Mary. And if you ever went to Auntie Mary's house or even ate her cooking, amazing. That was a blessing right there. So I got my old job back. I called up my auntie. I told her, Auntie, I got laid off. Can I come back? Instantly, she said, Mario, come back. And not one, you know, she liked me, my auntie, because I never ever called in sick. I always was on time. And she never had any problems with me. So I went back to that job. So what a blessing. God provided that for me at that time when I needed it. And I'm so grateful. So grateful to Auntie Mary and even my auntie for bringing me back. So the plan was to stay with Auntie Mary and work at my auntie's job until I go to Sunset. And I was scheduled to leave in 6 months. January, that was the plan. So, as I was, still working, remember, I don't have any benefits now. We went to a gospel meeting. And this was 2 months before, this was like in November, 2 months before we were supposed to leave. I got injured. I had ACL. I was playing basketball with the church members, some members that we didn't see in a long time. I was playing with slippers. I should say slippers. That's pigeon. Slippers. Don't play basketball with slippers. And then I tore my ACL. You know what? 1 month before that, remember I told you I didn't have medical, right? I got my medical with the free one with the state. I got qualified. So I had medical. And I'm so glad I did, because that surgery was big. That's a lot of money. If I didn't have medical and that happened and I didn't cover it, man, that I don't think I could afford it. So that was a blessing right there. God put that and helped me out at that time, and I'm so grateful for him. So grateful. So I did the surgery. I was at Auntie Mary's house. I don't know if you remember Auntie Mary, but man, that's like one of the worst surgeries you could have if anybody had an ACL. But it was a blessing, because I lived right there. Auntie Mary lives there, and church was right here, real close. So it was good. So I got better. And then as January came, it was like we extended. We extended our sunset to the summer. Okay, let's start in the summer. Let's not start in the winter. Plus I had the surgery, and I said, okay, we're going to leave summer. So I told Auntie Mary, thanks. Thanks for letting me stay here. I know I was going to stay only to January, but we're going to leave. We're going to go stay with my mom, them, so they can be with their grandkids and before we go. But thank you, Auntie Mary. So I told Auntie Mary I'm going to leave. So we went to my mom's house. So we all lived in the three-bedroom with all the kids. Kind of, it was a packed house. So one day, as I was at work at the shopping center, I got a call. Ring. The call was from the United States Postal Service, and her name was Wendy. She's saying, "Hey, Mario, this is Wendy from the post office. Hey, I'm calling to set up an interview." I'm like, man, I forgot about that. I guess I took a test 3 years ago. So long story short, I took a test 3 years prior to that call, and that application that I filled out was so last minute. In fact, my mom... I was so lazy. My mom put it in for me. She was like, "Mario, did you turn in your application for the post office? They're going to have a test." I was like, "Oh, no." So the last day, she told me, "Mario, this is the last day." I was like, "Oh, Mom, can you send it? Can you send it?" So I'm so grateful that my mom, it's a blessing that she did that for me. And she sent it on the last day. So now this is 3 years before that call now. And I was working at Hart Properties, my auntie, the maintenance job. So I took the test. And at this test, 10,000 people took this test. It was the last postal test. Right now, you guys know the news. Post office is not going good. But this was the last test that they had. 10,000 people. When I went there, it was three sessions. 3,000 people. Then the next one, 3,000, 3,000. It was amazing. It was like this whole parking lot filled with chairs, everybody taking the test. So the lady that was giving the, leading the test, she was like, "Okay, this is very important. Before you take the test, you got to pick three places that you wanna go. Three places. And your first pick, that's where you're going to go if you get hired." So you get one, two, and three, right? So, wow, real last minute, I was like, where am I going to pick? So I was thinking, hey, everybody's going to pick like Honolulu, where they live. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick the farthest place. This was all last minute now in my head. So I picked Laie. You guys know where Laie is? I know Steven knows because he works out there. I picked Laie Post Office. Who would pick out in Laie? My two picks after that was Kaneohe and Kailua. And the reason for me picking that was because of this. I was like, oh, it's close to church. I know Laie is far, but that was like, I'm going to pick that because I don't think nobody's going to pick out there. And I'm going to pick these two because it's close to church. So when the lady was talking to me 3 years forward, okay, she was like, "Hey, Mario, yeah, we called to set up an interview." And then all of a sudden she said, "Oh, wait a minute. Why am I calling you?" She said, "Why am I calling you?" He's like, I'm only calling 89% scores. So 100% in this past 3 years, they were going down the line. All the 100%, you know, they're taking it. Guess what my score was? I'm not that smart. 76%. 76%. And she told me, oh, you got a 70. I was like, yeah, why are you calling me there? But she called me because, and she was like, oh, you picked Laie. So my score matched with that. And that's how I got the interview, was because of that. So I had the interview. As I was walking into the interview, I remember I had my earring on. I was like, don't wear earrings to the interviews. I didn't take it off. But I went inside there. Guess what? The postmaster that interviewed me, he had an earring. So that was amazing. So I had the interview. 3 months went by, and now I'm still going to, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to Sunset, right? So I got a call. I called. In fact, I tell this advice to everybody who's looking for a job. If you apply, call. Call and follow up. They like, you know, and every job that I had, the 5 jobs I had in Kauai, all the other jobs, I followed up. Did the application. I said, hey, you know what? I'm just following up. So it just so happens, I called the post office. I called Wendy at the Human Resources. I was like, hey, I'm just calling to follow up on my my results. I just want to see, you know, the interview results, what's going on, you know. So she's like, oh, Mr. Fusco, sorry, we was going to call you. We got somebody for the job, okay, for the job. It was a mail carrier in Laie. I already knew from the interview that it was Laie, yeah. Oh, we got somebody for the job. Sorry about that. Hang up. Next day, I'm talking to Tim. Tim is he's in the military, but he is a member of this congregation. My good friend, probably my best friend right now. We talk about everything. So I called him up, and our conversation was basically this. You know what? And he was encouraging me. He was like, Mara, no worry. Don't worry. Man, the Lord's going to be with you. It's all the Lord's will. You just go to Sunset. And then I remember on that last part of that call, it was, you know what, Tim? Yeah, even though they told me yesterday that, sorry you don't get the job, who knows? They could call me back and tell me, hey, that was a mistake. And hey, you got. That was the last words I told him. Okay, Tim, shoots. Hanged up the phone. 5 seconds later, this was the next day. This is the truth. 5 seconds later, after that call, I got a call from the post office. Hey, Mr. Fusco. Hey, this is Wendy. I know yesterday when you called, we said you didn't have that mailman job, the postal carrier job yesterday, but we do have another position in Laie, clerk. Clerk is the one you work at the window, yeah? Clerk and you sort mail. I was like, really? Wow, man, I was like amazed. I was astounded. I was like praising God. It was amazing. She said, okay, you get a letter in the mail telling you where you're going to report. So guess who I called right after that? Called up Tim. Tim, this is 3 minutes after I just talked to him. Tim, guess what?
What?
Bro, you wouldn't believe it. Bro, they called me back and said there was another position. Oh, right there. All we were talking about, see, God takes care of you. No. Man, my faith just increased from there. I was like, wow. And me, I never went to college. I never had no education or anything. And getting into the post office is very hard. And it's a good job, you know. It's probably one of the most wanting jobs. Well, maybe not right now, but, and it was the largest employer. So I got into the post office. Jeremiah 17:5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from the flesh, but whose heart turns away from the Lord. So don't trust in man, trust in God. Philippians 2:2. Then make my joy complete and being like-minded. I'm talking about, this is a verse for me and Tim right there. We were like-minded in the way we were talking on how God will take care of us. We were in Philippians 2:2, it says being in one spirit and one mind. And I believe all that together played the results on that. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, this is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And I was starting to, my love for the Lord at that time was just growing and growing. I think I had the right attitude at that time, and I think the right attitude led to these things that happened. So the post office, I'm going to talk a little bit about the post office. You guys seen the news, right? You guys hear it all. Ever since I went and stepped into that first day into my post office, in fact, the letter said, Mario, you're only going to work 20 hours a week. But I still was like, oh, okay. So during that time, I forgot this, Sunset, right? I was supposed to go to Sunset. When I got that letter, before I was to report to La'ie, I had a hard time because I had support. I was wondering what to do. So what I did, I asked Uncle Ben. I asked Danny Sagadra. I asked all the people that I grew up with the church. And all of them told me, Mario, you know what? You should take that job. You can always go to Sunset School. So I took that advice. I stayed. I called up Sunset. I gave my support back to the people that gave to me already, and all the churches I called up. You know what? I'm not going. Big decision, because I was like, man, I was weighing it, but I asked like Uncle Ben, and when Uncle Ben told me, Mario, stay. You can always go to Sunset. You can always go. So as I stepped into that first day, they told me, oh, only 20 hours of work. You're only going to work 20 hours. But guess what, guys? I never, ever worked 20 hours. I always had a lot of hours at that post office. Despite all the news, we have stand-ups every week. Oh, you know, they're going to cut hours. Besides all that, God always provided somewhere for me to go. There were so many different supervisors coming up to La'ie, and all these different supervisors... One day I just decided, I got close with them. It's only a small office. They asked me, hey, do you want to learn how to do it? I was like, sure. I was learning everything. I was like, yeah, I want to learn. I want to learn this. I want to learn that. Finally, this other supervisor came out. His name was Gavin. He's my good friend now. I never knew him until he came out. He was the acting postmaster in La'ie. And his dad is like a big person in the post office. So knowing that my position might be cut in La'ie soon, and it is. It's already done already. Gavin told me, you know what? Mario, you want to go learn how to be a supervisor? I can get you down there. Next thing you know, Gavin comes to me the next day. It was a Monday. Mario, you're going to Honolulu next week. I was like, really? Yeah, you're going to be you're going to do some training. You're going to be a supervisor for the mail carriers. That is the hardest job in the post office. It's a crazy job. Just imagine... supervising mail carriers. It's tough. So I got to go and supervise all the big post offices one day a week. It's hard. I mean, to go to different offices and have 50 carriers and to learn the whole thing, it was tough. I have a folder for each office. But I said, you know what, God? I'll go wherever you want me to go. And in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm going over here for your glory so I can meet somebody that I can talk with and we can... you know, share your word. That's what my attitude was everywhere I went. So I was in Honolulu for 1 year now. I left La'ie. It's called a 204B program. It's like an acting supervisor. I had a lot of hours. I had more pay. Blessing. What a blessing. One day they called me, Mario, you're going to go to Kailua. I was like, oh. Kailua now. And Kailua is known for the hardest post office. Nobody wants to go there. No supervisor wants to go. There's a strong union over there. Nobody wants to go there. But I said, okay, I'll do it. I went over there, and yes, it was the toughest place I went. So during that time, I went back to La'ie for just a week. And then during that time, my position got cut in La'ie. I said, Mara, there's no hours over here. You know, you've been gone. And yeah, they're downsizing. They downsized a lot in the post office. So I got accessed, it's called transferred, to Waimanalo. This was 1 year ago. And I'm only guaranteed, on paper now, 8 hours a week. That's all they need me in Waimanalo. And Auntie Jan, you see me more than 8 hours a week. Yeah. Auntie Jan is our best customer. But never I had that 8 hours a week. I always had all those places I went to,
I can be used. I go from Ka'ava, because I went there before. I say, yeah, I'll do it. Haula, see Stephen at Haula. Kahuku, Honolulu, everywhere wants to use me. And I think that because I took those doors, took those opportunities that the Lord showed me, it made me more valuable. Even though I'm not guaranteed these hours, God still provides. And my schedule, if you used to see my calendar, it's crazy. I don't know what I'm going to be in 2 weeks. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But yet God always puts something in front of me and shows me. So what he did was, this is just recent, 2 weeks ago, I got my job is Waimanalo Postmaster for 2 months. I never even knew that was coming. But just so happens the postmaster going to go to Maui. God showed me that. So despite this ups and downs, God continued to showed me his that he takes care of me. And during this time, I have three jobs right now. Most of you know. During this time, I got into this company called 101 Financial. I'm not going to sell anybody anything right now, but I just want to say that this is one of the best things I ever did. And God showed me this program. My uncle told me, Mara, you have debt. I can these new techniques can show you to pay off your debt fast. I was like, yeah, whatever. I got on. I paid all my debt off. Zero debt. $33,000. I paid it off. My store, I was so excited about it, and it was such a blessing to me in my mind that God showed me this, that the owner hired me. So I'm an instructor for a financial company that made the Inc. 500 last year. Or in 2009, one of the fastest growing companies in America, and we're based in Hawaii. And I'm an instructor, and what I do is I teach people how to finance better, budget. And I got to help a lot of my family. My cousin TJ, he's another instructor. But that was another blessing, because this is during this whole post office time where, you might lose your job. But God showed me that, and I took it. And I just do that on my own time. He also showed me something else recently in the last 5 months, especially 5 months ago when I didn't even know where I'm going to be. So I said, you know what, God, I'm going to take all these opportunities you show me. I was buying electric solar, no electric bill. Wow, it's new technology. The manager came out to give me a quote, not a sales guy, a manager. And when he came out, I seen what he did, and I asked him, hey, wow, that's so simple. He only spent 30 minutes with me. I can do that. You need somebody? He's like, I'll let you know. Calls me up. Hey, we got a training. Went to this training for 8 hours. That was it. Done. I got hired with them too. All praises to God for that. God shows me these things and I take it. And I think that for you guys, if God shows you, it's so obvious, take it. And it might not be obvious too sometimes, but if the opportunity is there, I just encourage you guys to take it. And not to mention, Sunset School of Preaching. Every Thursday night for the past 2 years, the Sunset School of Preaching is here on Hawaii. Uncle Ben is an instructor. And guess what? It's free. I don't need support. It's here. Somebody brought the material here, and we have a class every Thursday night, the Sunset School of Preaching. 2 hours a week, yeah, so it's going to take me, but 30-something years. So if I went 8 hours a day for 2 years, that's what the school was, then, yeah, I would have completed the school in 2 years. But so I think somebody did the math. Also, if you do it 2 hours a week, you're going to take 30-something. But you know what? It's a good class. And I'm learning exactly what I would have been learning up there. And I'm so glad that I made that decision. That is the biggest part of my story, where I wanted to go, and now it's here. And God provided that, and it is a great class. It is probably the best class I ever did. Uncle Ben teaches. We have different teachers. I encourage you guys to go. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. God provided for Abraham in Genesis 22, and I'm closing it up here, Genesis 22, 13-14. This was right before he's on the mountain. He's going to kill his son Isaac. God told him to sacrifice your son. But then God told him, hey, stop what you're doing. It says in verse 13 and 14 that Abraham looked up. This was after God said, don't harm the boy. Looked up in the thicken, and he saw a ram. God caught by its horns. He went over, and he took the ram, and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it says, on that mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Because Abraham did what was righteous, and he had to do the will of God, God provided for him that ram. And it's the same with me. I think because the attitude that I always had that, you know, I'm always going to put the Lord first. I'm always going to come to church. Even though I screw up, I'm going to always come. I think he put those things and he provided for me in my life. And, you know, all those characters that we mentioned were not perfect. And I admit, I am not perfect. Throughout these years, you know, I sin all the time. In fact, recently, Uncle Ben doesn't know this, but last Sunday, as I was in there, I almost was going to tell Uncle Ben, you know what, I can't do it. You know, I can't do the sermon. There are some things at home that I did wrong, and, you know, I was arguing with my wife. And it was a big argument, but we're all good now. It took a lot out of me. It's like I didn't want to do the lesson. I can't do it. Another thing that happened that week, I had 2 complaints against me at the post office. I never had no complaints in all my years. And I had 2 complaints. And these customers wasn't the friendliest ones, but they complained and it went to the number. You call the number and then it went to me because I was the postmaster. So I handled my own complaint. She thought I was a regular. She thought I was a regular, you know, just a regular worker. But I never had that complaint. And I took it all on me. I said, you know what? Yeah, I should have been nice, more nice to this person. And it's hard to be nice to every customer, I'm telling you. If every customer was like Auntie Janice, yes. But no, there's some hard customers. But 2 in 1 week. So I had those, like, man, I'm not worried. Why am I going to speak? You know, and I almost backed out of it, Uncle Ben. I almost was going to tell you. But I sat back there and I was like, you know what? I thought of what I just told you guys. You know what? You do the right thing. You just do it. You had all this time to prepare. And go complete your lesson, Mario, and just do it. And, you know, I did. I sat back there. I was like, you know what? Forget about it. I'm going to still do the lesson. And after that, you know, me and Joy, you know, everything was good. Happy. This was one of the best weeks I had. And then the customers, yeah, I talked to those customers after. One came in and I called another one. And I told him sorry, and yeah, it's all good now. So I'm not perfect, but I just know that doing the right thing that would please God is the most important. It's first. It's before your family. It's before anything. You please God first. You go up, you bring Isaac, like how Abraham brought Isaac to sacrifice him. That was his family, but God was first. So if you put God first, everything else will be given unto you. Everything else is going to just flow. Romans 8:28, all things work good for those who love the Lord. I know you guys love the Lord. I love the Lord. And that's the main thing. If we truly love him, everything will work out for us. Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will direct your paths. You know, I just encourage you guys that, you know, this now, you know, everybody's calling this like the last times, you know, all these things happening, all these America, our government. But don't worry about those things. Don't worry about that. I try not to worry about where I'm going to be 2 months from now with the post office, even though I don't know. I'm good to April 20. Right now, I'm good to April 22nd. After that, I don't know. But this has been the same story for my life from the time I stopped, you know, started in the post office. I don't know where I'm going to be. But God always provided with those other 2 jobs I had. And I know that just putting him first and continue to go to that Thursday class, that is the main thing that I should do right now. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good in times of trouble. He cares for you.
Deuteronomy 7:9, therefore the Lord is your God, and he is a faithful God. He keeps all his commandments of love to 1,000 generations and for those who love him and keep his commandments. You know, the key point is Philippians 4, 12-4, how Paul said he has learned to be grateful in all circumstances. Whether you live and you're poor or you're rich, you still have to keep that same faith and God will provide. I could lose everything right now, but I don't know. We don't really know what's going to happen. But all that matters is this, is right here, is this body, is this church, and doing his works. And he will take care of you. So I'm glad to share my story. I hope it was kind of clear. There's a lot of stuff. And I encourage you to share your story, how God helped you. I would like to know it. Everybody might have a story that can relate. And that's what things happen for. It doesn't happen for any other reason. I mean, yeah, for you to grow, but to share with others. And that's why I believe all these, like Paul, he shared his trials. We need to share with one another so that we can build up one another, so that we can live with God one day. So I extend the invitation to you, if you have any needs, or if you're not a Christian, please come forward and become one. Because when you become a Christian, in 2 Timothy 1:7, we have the Spirit. You have the Spirit in you that it says it takes care of you. It doesn't make you timid. It gives you power. It gives you self-discipline. So if you become a Christian, you will have that gift of the Holy Spirit, and you will be added to the body. And if you're a Christian and if you fell away, like me, I sin all the time, it's okay. You know, just let us know. Let us know what we can do, and we'll pray for you. And that's all I have this morning. I hope it was an encouragement to you. And right now we're going to sing an invitation song. And if you have any needs, please come forward. Stand and sing.